You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
Good morning. As it was said, my name is Samuel Lee, and I serve in the Queen's ministry. And it has been wonderful to be able to worship with you guys in Brooklyn this morning. I've only been here one other time, and that was when I was in college. And I was in college in Manhattan. We had a joint service together, and so I was in this building. But it's the first time since then. It's been about 3 years, and it has been a joy to worship with you guys. To tell you a little bit about myself, my name, again, is Samuel Lee. I was baptized about 8 years ago in New Jersey. And so I grew up, I grew up in Seoul, South Korea, until I was about the age of 10. And then I moved to Rockland County, New York, where I grew up until I went to college, but I was a part of the team ministry in New Jersey. And so after growing up, I went to college. I went to the best school in the entire world. I went to NYU. So there's a picture of me when I was a teen, the best school, NYU, and that was me at my graduation right there. And after graduating, I was in New Jersey for a little bit, and then I went, and I've been in Queens for the past year and some change, serving as the youth and family minister. So please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. You know, I don't know how 2019 has been for you guys, but it's kind of crazy to me that it's already October. Because it has been jam-packed and chaotic for me this year. You know, I have been doing a lot of traveling. Towards the end of last year in November, I had to go to Korea. And then since then, I've also had to go to Florida, had to go to California twice. And in two weeks, I have to go to Ohio. And all of those are for weddings. So it's just been crazy traveling back and forth all over the place on top of just how chaotic life is in itself, right? But that's just how life is. There's things that get thrown at us, that things that come our way, and whether they're expected or unexpected, and three-fourths of the year has flown by before we know it. Life gets busy, and life gets chaotic, and if we just blink, it's going to be the end of the year, right? It's going to be 2020. And because life gets so busy, and because life gets so chaotic, I think if we're not careful, it is really easy to get disconnected from Jesus, right? It's easy for our focus to get on the wrong things, for God to take a backseat in our mind. And I think that's why we have to continue to remind ourselves every day to stay focused on what's important. Stay focused on what we need to, which is God. That's the picture of the youth and family ministry. But that's the title of my sermon today, is Focused. There we go. The title of my sermon today is Focused. Not so much whether we need to be focused or not, because we all know that we need to be focused, but much more so on being focused on the right things and not being focused on the wrong things in spite of the different challenges that life can throw at us. So let's go to Luke chapter 17. And in Luke 17, starting in verse 11, we're going to read a story here. It reads, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked him, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.' So we see here a story of 10 people, all with leprosy, who are miraculously healed by Jesus. But after being healed, for one reason or another, only one man returns to give thanks back to Jesus. And it's clear from this story, right, that the man who came back to give thanks, that's the man that we want to be like, right? That's clearly the righteous one, and we all know that. But what separates him from the other nine, right? That's the question. What makes him different compared to the other nine? And I think it all comes down to his focus. So let's talk about and let's break down the two different focuses that these men had and see what we can learn. So starting with the men that did not return, what were these men focused on? And to answer that, I think we have to look back into the background of what was happening. Right? The Bible says that these men were lepers. And I don't know what you know about lepers in the first century Jewish culture, but it carried a lot of weight to be a leper. And it carried weight in all the bad ways. Because the lepers were looked on as unclean, right? As people to be avoided. And in fact, it went so far as to that these people had to live in secluded villages, away from the rest of the people. And whenever they wanted to go into villages where there were people that weren't lepers, they had to wear bells around them so that people could hear these bells, know that they're coming, and get out of their way. So basically, for as long as they've been lepers, they have lived without normal human contact. And they were emotionally scarred, social pariahs. And so these men hear that there's this incredible man, Jesus, who can heal them. And so they go in faith, and they're miraculously healed. But I think what happened after is that these men were so amazed that they have been cleansed. Right? These men were so amazed that they have a new life, and they're so excited about all that has happened to them, that after they show themselves to the priest, they kind of just go on their way to go meet up with their families, to go meet up with their friends, the very people that they have been isolated from for years and years. You know, these people at some point had become isolated away from their loved ones, and for however long it has been, it seems natural that they would want to go and see them. I mean, isn't that what you would want? Imagine if you were away from your family and if you were away from your friends. I know that's what I would want, right? As soon as I can go see them, that's what I would want to do. I would want to go see them and rejoice with them because what has happened, and just continue my life from where it had left off. But in the celebrating, in the midst of all the celebrating, in the midst of all the joyfulness, in the midst of this incredible miracle, the man who has healed them, the man who has performed the miracle, Jesus, is kind of pushed aside in favor of the miracle itself. See, these nine men were focused only on the what. They were focused only on what had happened. Right? That is why these men never go back to Jesus. Because what they were happy about was not the fact that Jesus had healed them. What they were happy about was the fact that they were healed. It didn't matter who had healed them, they were healed. It's not wrong to be happy about miracles, but they got so wrapped up because it had become all about just them. I mean, I'm sure the other nine believed in Jesus, right? And I'm sure because of this encounter, their faith in God increased. And when they went back to tell everyone in their towns about how they were healed, I'm sure Jesus was mentioned in their story. And I'm sure they believed that he could do even greater things than these, right? But when they would tell this story, when they look back on this moment, What they care about isn't Jesus himself. What they care about is what only what he can do. Their faith depended entirely on what Jesus did and not who he was. You know, I remember, like I told you, I became a Christian 8 years ago. And I remember a few years back, I was in college, and I was really struggling in my faith. I had a tough time while I was in college in my faith. But just a little bit ago, I was doing great, right? And so there was this dramatic shift in my faith all of a sudden. Because just a couple years back, I was in the teen ministry, had a great mom, had a great friends, had a great ministry, a great leader. Everything was kind of going right. And then I got to college, and my faith started to really struggle. And so I reached out to the campus minister, and he told me something that I did not expect him to tell me, which was, he told me, okay, what you have to do is, first of all, you have to get into your Bible, which makes sense. But then he said, start reading your Bible and ask all the doubts and all the questions that you have, right? And he encouraged me to have doubts. He encouraged me to have questions. And so what I did was I went back and I started right from the beginning. And I started in the book of Genesis. And I started reading throughout Genesis. And I really did not get too far. I got to about halfway through Genesis because I had literally pages of questions and doubts that I had about who God was. And so I went back and I literally sat down with my campus minister and talked for hours upon hours about all the doubts, all the questions I had. And what I learned through that moment and through that time was, all this time, I really did not know God. I really did not know God. I thought I knew God, and when I studied the Bible, I learned about God, but my relationship was so shallow. See, I knew about the things he had done, but I didn't know who he was. But because I had doubts, and because he encouraged me to ask questions and have doubts, I learned about God. I learned about why he did the things he did. And it really helped me build a faith on his rock. So my question to Brooklyn this morning is, what are we focused on this morning? Are we focused on the what, like these nine men? Relying on the miracles and amazing things that God does in our lives for our faith seems like a great idea at first. And it's not like it's wrong to have our faith boosted, but we think we're headed in the right direction because we build our faith based off of what God does, but we're not going in the right direction. Because the question we have to ask ourselves is, it's not wrong to want God to do something and to ask God to do something, but the question is, how do we respond when the answer is a no? How do you respond when the answer is a no? Or better yet, how do you respond when the answer is a yes? Are you just quick to forget God and be happy in your situation? Right? And when things don't go the way that we want, are we quick to start giving less? To give less to the church? To give less to the people that are around us? To give less to our groups and the other disciples? Right? Does our faith start to waver when God answers no's? Do we start not being as invested? Right? We start praying less boldly, and to a degree that our faith is just dependent on all that God does. See, the problem with being focused on just the what is that as soon as the next problem comes and God isn't there to fix it, our faith will die. When things don't go the way we want to, our faith in Jesus is questioned. You know, it's not wrong to struggle with God when the answer is a no. It's not wrong to struggle and to feel different things. David felt a lot throughout the Psalms. But does your faith in God remain throughout the no's? You know, there's a really interesting section of John that where Jesus feeds the 5,000, which is an incredible miracle. But what's really interesting is what happens after Jesus feeds the 5,000, because he feeds them and then he kind of moves on to the other side of the lake. But look what happens here with the people. It says in John 6, starting in verse 22, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite side of the shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Basically, what had happened was Jesus fed the 5,000, and then he goes on to the other side of the lake. These people get up, they realize Jesus isn't there, and then they get hungry, and so they go to Jesus for more bread. Right? They only go after Jesus because of what he's giving them, because they're eating and having their fill. So the question is, are we like these men that go back to Jesus only when we grow hungry? See, if God came to us this morning and told you and me that from now on there will be no more miracles in our lives, that nothing else will go the way you want it to for the rest of your life, will you still serve God because of who he is? Will you still follow God? If we just depend on the miracles to increase our faith and live as disciples, we will never be fully invested. Our faith will only be a roller coaster depending on how our lives are going. Again, it's not a bad thing to remember the great things God has done, right? To be encouraged by them. And there are scriptures that literally talk about remembering the great things God has done. But when it becomes the basis of our faith, when it becomes the thing that we are most focused on, we only hurt ourselves. So instead of being focused simply on the what, instead of being focused on the miracles that God might do, we have to be like the man who returned to Jesus, the one man who actually returned. Because after all 10 of the lepers are healed, while the other 9 are overjoyed at what had happened to them, there was one man who was overjoyed at the man who made it happen. And he runs back to Jesus and throws himself at his feet. See, this man wasn't focused on the what, but he was focused on the who. Right? He was focused on the who. See, for him, the concern wasn't that he was cleansed of his leprosy. His concern was getting to know the incredible man who can make impossible happen. He was happy about what had happened to him. He was happy and excited that he no longer had to be isolated. He was happy he was no longer a leper. He could go back to his family and all the other things that the 9 felt. But to this man, that was secondary. The miracle was secondary. His happiness and his joy was secondary to the gratefulness and the amazement he felt towards Jesus. This man knew that true miracles he experienced was not being cleansed, but getting to meet his Savior. And unlike the other 9, when this man tells his story, what he will tell them is not of how he was cleansed of his leprosy, but how he met a man who changed his life forever. All 10 had interactions with Jesus, but only one man formed a relationship with him. And now his faith is not dependent on miracles. If things don't go the way he wants throughout his life, his faith in Jesus will not waver. Because he knows who Jesus is. He knows the kind of man and the kind of Son of God he is. And that is what differentiates this man from the other nine. You know, I recently changed my phone. I was forever an iPhone user, and I recently switched over to an Android. Oh, wow. That's the biggest cheer I got all morning. But, you know, what is crazy about Apple, you know, what is crazy about, you know, Apple is one of the biggest companies in the world today. And they're at a point with their customer base that, honestly, for their customers, it really doesn't matter what kind of product they put out. They're going to go buy it. I'm not trying to diss Apple, right? Apple can make good products, but in my opinion, they have it in a little bit. But the crazy thing is, millions of people line up at their door, and they don't care about what kind of a product they put out. They care that it's Apple, right? They're not focused on the things that Apple does. They just care that it's Apple. So they'll go and they'll get the latest iPhones, even though it's the same phone with one extra camera, right? They'll go and get the next Apple Watch, even though it's the same exact watch, right? They'll go get the AirPods. They'll go get whatever, whatever, because it's Apple, right? People are this avid fans of Apple. Even if Apple lets them down time and time again, they go back. But our faith in God wavers so easily. Just one thing doesn't go the way that we exactly want it to, and our faith starts to fall. How well do you know God? Do you follow God because who he is or because of what he does? And really what it is, again, is us and me at times being so wrapped up in myself, in ourselves, rather than being wrapped up in God. The great things that happen to us or the bad things that happen to us overshadow the gratitude that we should be feeling towards God. You know, one of the most amazing men in the Bible that I love is a man named Enoch. One of my favorite men in the Bible. Because in Genesis chapter 5, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. See, Enoch walked with God not because of the things that God had done for him or everything he saw or hear that God had done. I mean, he didn't even have anything that resembles the Bible or the Torah back in this time. He had nothing. He had no one around him that wanted to follow God. And yet he was able to walk faithfully with God for what the Bible says was 300 years. For his entire life, because it was about the who. See, Enoch was focused on the who. Because the Bible doesn't talk about all the great things that happened in Enoch's life. It just says he followed God because of God. That is the type of faith that pleases God. Because in Hebrews 11, it talks about Enoch again. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, it was to the point, right? Enoch's faith and his focus on God was to the point that he had such a close relationship with God that God could literally not wait until Enoch died. He said, I need you by my side right now. And he took him away from this earth before he experienced death. That was the kind of close relationship Enoch had with God. Do we have that kind of a relationship? Right? If someone, if we were included in the Bible, is that what it would say about us? That we walked faithfully with God because of who he was. And we got to ask ourselves each and every morning, how are we doing in our reading of our Bible? How are we being devoted to God's word, living according to it, being devoted to the body, being devoted to prayer? Do you really know God this morning? What he is like, his characteristics, who he is, not what he's done. Right? When is the last time that we just completely lost ourselves in the Bible? We didn't even realize the time that went by. Or we completely lost ourselves in prayer. That nothing else mattered except us praying to God in that moment. You know, if we want to be focused on the who, we have to spend time with him. I mean, there's no other way to do it. And if you're coming out, if you're visiting for the first time, if you're studying the Bible, that's what I want to encourage you with. Forget everything else. Forget all the bells and whistles. Get to know God. There's nothing else that matters. Just get to know God and who he is. You know, I remember when I was a teen and I was growing up in the church, I thought I knew God because I grew up going to children's ministry. I grew up hearing the lessons and the classes and how the ark was built and how Abraham did what and everything else. And then when I sat down and I studied the Bible, I really saw how much I did not know about God. And then when I got to college and I started having my doubts and expressing my doubts, I then again saw how much I did not know. But we will only know where we are if we jump into the Bible, if we jump into our prayers, if we jump into fellowship, and we devote ourselves to it. And we devote ourselves to get to know the who. You know, there is not a whole lot of 2019 left. But there is enough time to make changes, to make a difference. There's still enough time to make sure we are walking in step with the Spirit, to make an enormous impact in Brooklyn for God. But the answer to those questions depend largely on what we choose and how we act moving forward. Right? If we are willing to stay focused on the who and not the what, if we take it upon ourselves to get to know Jesus and form a deep relationship with him and not just be focused on what he has done, we will surely walk, all of us, in step with the Spirit, and God's presence will be felt in the borough of Brooklyn. We stay focused on the who, get to know Jesus deeper than we have ever done in our lives, and make it the very foundation of our spiritual life. No matter what challenges and what storms come our way, we will be able to see through them, and we will see that we have stayed focused on the right things. And we will not only be able to see through them, we will look back on 2019 and realize that we have thrived through it all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.